of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen. I'm singing too much. My throat's a bit rough. Well, as I was telling the children, maybe I'll just have a drink of water. Well, as I was telling the kids, wait somewhere until something happens. We go through that all the time. We hear those words a lot, and especially I think if you travel and you go to the airports, we usually have to show up a couple of hours at least before a flight in anticipation that's all going to go well and that we're going to get to board. Sometimes after waiting hours and getting there, sometimes our flights are delayed or they're canceled. How do we react? Well, you know, people react different ways. But fortunately, most of the times, we do patiently board our flight and we head off to our destination. But during this time before we do that, how do we wait? How good are we at waiting? Well, at the airport, you see some people prepare for the flight. They get water, they might get a snack, they go use the washrooms. Other people start to maybe prepare for what they're going to do at their destination. Maybe it's a work trip, so they're preparing for meetings. Maybe it's vacation time. Maybe they're going to visit families. Other of us just wander around the terminal or read a book. Everyone finds a way to pass the time until their flight's called. Everyone does it differently, but how we wait sometimes can affect the quality of our waiting and the quality of our trip and how we react at the end. Well, in today's readings, the disciples are asked to wait in Jerusalem until they receive power from on high, power from the Holy Spirit. They had to wait 10 days. Now, it had already been 40 days since Jesus rose from the dead. We know this length of time because the crucifixion took place just before the Passover. And we also know that the Feast of Pentecost means 50s. It's a Jewish celebration, which is 50 days after the start of Passover. So that's how we know that when he says to wait for 10 days, that it's been 40 days till, you know, 40 and 10 makes 50. So that's why we get the Pentateuch. So anyways, this coming, as we know, the Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, is considered as the birthday of the church and is one of the most important of our Christian festivals that we celebrate. Now, Ascension Day, although we're celebrating it this morning, actually occurred last Thursday. And in many churches, it doesn't get its proper recognition, mainly because it happens midweek rather than on a Sunday. Now, in the cathedrals and some really large churches, they may celebrate this feast, but it's difficult for smaller churches because we may not have the resources or the number of people to make a special celebration service worthwhile. And the other thing is that, as we heard the prayer today, June 2nd, it's actually in addition to being Jerusalem Day for us Christians, in the Jewish calendar, it's Jerusalem Day. So many Christian churches use today to celebrate the importance of Jerusalem to Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And Jesus sent his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. However, Archbishop Gregg, I was at clergy conference last week, encouraged clergy to consider celebrating Ascension this Sunday instead, because Ascension marks a very significant event in the Easter story. Now, before I get that, I'll just give a little background that you may be aware, but the book of Acts, it was written by Luke, who was a physician and travel companion of the Apostle Paul. And also Luke is the author of Luke. He helped the Apostle Paul expand Christianity beyond Jerusalem, beyond Israel, into what we know today as Turkey and Greece. Now, our readings today were the very last few verses of the Gospel of Luke and the very first few verses of the book of Acts. So it's almost like a continuous story. And these verses describe the events leading to the ascension of Jesus. And so maybe it's worthwhile just taking a few minutes to just review their significance. First, from our readings, we learn that Jesus has appeared to the disciples several times over the last 40 days. And most of the times, they didn't recognize who he was. Mary in the garden thought he was a gardener. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus just thought he was a nice guy. When they didn't recognize him, he seemed like a ghost or a spirit. He just sort of seemed to show up. In the locked house after the crucifixion, he came through some locked doors and just came into the room. And they were worried about whether he was a ghost. And so one time, with doubting Thomas, he said, "Put your hands in my side. Put your fingers in the holes in my hands." So he did this to prove that he was really Jesus and that he was really alive. He wasn't a ghost. He even ate food with his disciples to prove that he wasn't a ghost. So in our readings this morning in Acts, it says, "After suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God." Well, what was he telling them? Well, scholars are not certain, but there are some hints from the Gospels. In the Gospels, Jesus tells them, "I will be with you always, even to the end of ages." Well, how can that happen if he's going to go up to heaven? He also told them, "If you abide in me, I will abide in you, just as the Father abides in me, and I in the Father." Well, again, how can we abide in him if he's not here, that if he's in heaven, he's ascended to heaven, that he's returned to the Father, to us in our other readings, to receive the glory and the power of being on the right hand of God the Father? Well, the answer, Jesus says, is, "When I return to the Father, the Holy Spirit will come and lead you into all truth and will empower you to go into all the world to spread the good news about repentance and forgiveness of sins." So basically, Jesus is saying God the Son needs to return to God the Father before God the Holy Spirit can fulfill those promises that "I will be with you always" that Jesus made. And this occurs next Sunday on Pentecost. At this time in our readings, Jesus tells his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until you've been clothed with power on high. Well, how did they spend their times waiting? Well, our readings told us that they're continually in the temple blessing God. They use their waiting time wisely. Last week, our diocesan clergy conference was held in Caroline and was led by Brother Emile, a representative for the Teze community located in France. For those of you who aren't certain, Teze is a form of worship that involves musical repetition of simple prayers, often in Latin, interspersed with long periods of silence. Times of waiting on the Lord. Well, certainly last week at first, this was pretty difficult. I'm not a very patient person. Waiting, the silence. You know, in our world, we want instant gratification. We want to see something happen. So this made waiting in silence difficult. However, Brother Emile pointed out to us that taking time to come into God's presence and waiting on him can be rewarding. Several passages from the Bible say that if we seek God, God will reveal himself to us. So just as the disciples awaited in Jerusalem and were empowered, if we take time to seek God's kingdom, we can be spiritually rewarded. So from that well-known praise song, we hear, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And it says, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you will find and knock, and the door will be opened unto you. And that refers to the verse in Revelation 3:20 where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock, and if anyone hears me and opens the door, I will come into him and have sup with him." And that's that painting where you see Jesus knocking on a door with no handle, so he can't go in until it's opened on the inside. Well, as I mentioned earlier, long times of waiting could be frustrating or uncomfortable. However, I found through the Teze last week that if you take time to wait on the Lord, then we, like the disciples, can receive wisdom to truly understand the significance of Christ's death and resurrection, and we can receive power to share that good news with other people. Now, just before the clergy conference initially started, we heard a presentation by Michael Harvey, who's currently visiting our diocese. He's the one who leads workshops all around the world for Invitation Sunday, which this church celebrates in the fall, where you ask people. And he provided some interesting statistics that he's gathered from all denominations all over the world. And he's saying that if people are asked to pray for someone that they should invite to church, 70% of all people, there'll be a name or a person that comes to their mind. But of that group, 80% will not do it. You say, well, why not? Well, I think he says mainly it's the fear of rejection, a person saying no. However, Michael Harvey claims that in almost all cases, God has already prepared that person's heart. And they're already prepared to hear the question, "Will you like to come to church with me?" And we are just a vehicle to help them in their search for God. God is responsible for their answer, not us. We don't have to claim to have the greatest choir, or the greatest preaching, or anything like that. God works in people's hearts and prepares them. It's not us. We're just required to ask the question. And Michael Harvey pointed out that even a no answer moves a person off what he calls, he talked about a clock of getting close to God, and at 3 o'clock you're about as far away as you can get, and you, when you get up to midnight, you're with God. Well, he says even if somebody rejects, you've planted a seed in their brain, and the clock moves a little bit to the right. And Brother Emil fit into this because in his studies he says that humans were created to worship God. And that seeking God is the ultimate fulfillment for human beings. It's pretty astounding. Now, as we heard the prayer earlier, this Thy Kingdom Come initiative that's come from the Archbishop of Canterbury, where we're asked to pray for 5 people between now and Pentecost, is something where if we do this, it will help us in our minds to maybe find that one person that next fall, when Invitation Sunday comes around, there'll be somebody on our heart that we will think, maybe I should invite them to church. And if we pray about that, also next Sunday, we can pray for the courage to actually ask them. So I'd just like to conclude to say that if we can take our time in these busy lives that we have, even during our services, to wait on the Lord or to be still and know that I am God, we will be rewarded with a better sense of God's presence, and we can share that joy with others. Amen.